The argument against home sharing short-term rentals usually boils down to this. By choosing to rent to visitors, homeowners decrease the rental stock that could go to residents in need of permanent homes. Neighborhoods with short-term rentals often feel additional pressure on infrastructure and see changes in their character. But senior research fellow Jared Meyer at the Florida-based Foundation for Government Accountability says there's an unfinger finger-pointing going on. He'll speak this week in Honolulu. We talked before he left, and I asked him why he believes short-term rentals are not undercutting the stock of long-terms.
Well, I think the data just shows that it isn't the issue. You're constantly going to hear opponents of short-term rentals, specifically in the hotel industry, crying about unaffordable rents. But if you look at, hotels, the same argument could be made. Any land that's a hotel is something that couldn't be affordable housing as well. And if you're looking in cities like New York City or in Honolulu, you're talking less than 1% of available housing is used as a rental, and the vast majority of those are rentals where the owner or the renter is staying in with the guest. So it's not that it's taking something off the market. What short-term rentals are doing is creating an option for people to afford the sky-high rents that we're seeing in cities because of a lack of housing supply.
Well, we've had several housing planning studies that have been done, including one that was done the last year. One of the issues that came out was that units that are vacant for seasonal or occasional use are the largest component of Hawaii's unavailable housing units. How does that square with what you've just said?
Well, I think what we need to do is if we're going to tackle the problem of affordable housing, which everyone agrees is a problem, we need to increase the stock of housing available. If you have a lot of people who are wanting to live in Hawaii or visit Hawaii, you're going to need more space for them to stay, or else there's going to be rents that are continuing to increase. And what short-term rentals are doing, it's opening up. Let's say if you get a two-bedroom apartment, and now on the weekends or when you're out of town, you can rent that out in order to afford your rent or your mortgage payment. It's something that we've seen happen in a lot of cities. And with the average Airbnb host only making about $5,000 a year, this is far from the case of foreign or mainland developers coming in and only renting out properties for short-term rentals.
There are some who would say that, in the face of this incredible housing demand, and we've seen some studies that are projecting that we're going to need approximately 66,000 units by 2025, how is that going to be made up if you have other available units that could be used for long-term situations for people to get them into stable housing if, in fact, an owner says, well, it's in my best interest if I'm able to rent this out seasonally?
Well, I know there's a high demand for tourists to come to Hawaii, but it's not an unlimited demand. It's still a costly, time-consuming place to get to. So even if they built, let's say, 66,000 short-term rental units, the fact is we're not going to get that many more visitors to fill up all of them. But what short-term rentals have done is allowed the market to come into what's known as equilibrium, where now there are enough places and enough options for travelers. But it's not as if every single short-term rental option they build is going to bring in another traveler.
Well, that whole amount of 66,000 units, both for rentals and for those who are able to purchase. But the point being that we are losing younger families. We have, thankfully, long longevity here. And in looking at housing stock not turning over perhaps as quickly as it does in other places, that need is still going to be there, especially for people who are on the lower end of an economic scale, to have housing. And very clearly, we're not being able to build it fast enough. You seem to be saying, well, focus on that problem, not on what Airbnb and what an owner may be doing. But there still seems to be that, a moral argument that we should be providing for our own first.
Well, I would say the arguments we can make is, first of all, there was a housing crisis before 2008 when Airbnb was created. So what we're seeing is a lot of politicians who don't want to take blame for artificially limiting the supply of houses, blaming the new guy in town, blaming Airbnb, blaming VRBO, HomeAway, these different services that make it easier for people to find a place to stay and for other people to make some income. But truly, I think this is a supply problem, and that's where we're going to find the real solution, rather than listening to hotel propaganda on Airbnb as the only cause of high rent.
We've had this conversation for a very long time before ever there was an Airbnb or any of the other platforms, that short-term rentals, illegal rentals, were really making an impact on the communities in which they were found, and that those communities were changing irrevocably because of that, and that we weren't being able to service younger families or singles who would like to be able to stay in Hawaii after having grown up here. You seem to be saying something that we've been hearing for a very long time, too, is, hey, we just need more supply. The question is, are we really going to get it?
Well, that's one point, but I also think when people have a home, if they're allowed to rent it out long-term, I think they should be able to rent it out short-term. This artificial distinction of 30 days that many states, including Hawaii, draw between short-term and long-term, I don't think that makes sense. If you own your property, you should be able to rent it out. If they want to go through zoning ordinances and try in specific areas to ban it, they can try, but it's going to be very difficult to enforce. And after all, this is people's property. Are we really going to tell them they can't let someone stay with them for money?
Well, that's been the other side of the coin also for a very long time. Hey, this is my house. If I want to rent out part of it, that's my business, not yours. And yet, at the same time, we tend to have this idea in Hawaii that, well, we're going to take care of each other and look after ourselves because we're out here floating around by ourselves. And that seems to be where the cut happens. Is there any way of being able to merge those two ideas? Are we just looking at this from strictly dollars and cents?
Well, I think one of the best ways we could do this is something that Airbnb and companies like that have actually been supportive of, which is a law that would allow the platforms, if they wanted to, these online platforms that facilitate short-term rentals, to collect taxes on behalf of the owners and then provide that to the local governments and the state. This would be then, using those funds, you could target truly effective ways to get low-income people into housing rather than some blanket ban on people exercising their property rights. So I think the idea of using tax revenue to actually help alleviate the affordable housing crisis, that could be a way forward. Unfortunately, the governor 2 years ago vetoed a bill that did exactly that, and this year that bill died on the floor again. So I think we need to see how we can use these services as an asset to the entire community in a way that doesn't limit property rights.
What do you think might better convince state government and the governor that this would be a way to go, being that we've now, as you say, and we've experienced, gone through this for 2 years running?
I think what they need to do is just point out the levels that the hotel industry has gone to, you know, the national chains, D.C. lobbying and state houses all over the country, trying to keep out competition from more consumer options. This is something that's good for consumers. It's good for people who own property and are renting, who can then use short-term rentals to make extra money. But what it's bad for are these mid-tier hotels. You know, if you were going to something like an Outrigger before, where maybe you'd be staying there and paying $150 a night, all of a sudden an Airbnb at $75 a night with pretty much the same amenities, that looks really good. Hilton and chains like that shouldn't be threatened by short-term rentals because it's truly just growing the pie of available rooms. But these mid-tier hotels have come out and lobbied strongly against any sort of legislation that would legalize this use of people's property.
Well, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the chance. Enjoyed it.
Jared Meyer is a senior research fellow at the Foundation for Government Accountability. At FGA, he researches the economic effects that various government regulations have on labor markets. He's speaking Tuesday evening at the Maui Country Club in Paia and Friday night at the Pacific Club in Honolulu.